not reflect those of the Evening Rush Network. Viewer's discretion is advised.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Live by the Three Sports Podcast with Tyler, Coach Matt, here on the Evening Rush Network. Glad to be back with you guys on another Thursday night. What's going on, Ty? How was your week?
It was good, man. So far, so good. How was your week?
I can't complain, man. It's going fast. Feel like the weekend just was here. This week is flying by, but that's a good thing because there's a lot going on. So, Ty, as always, if we wouldn't mind sharing where the followers can keep up with us and keep getting this good content.
All major platforms, Amazon Fire Stick, Spotify. I don't know if we're on Apple. We on Apple?
Yeah, we are Apple.
Yeah, everything. Everywhere. Yeah.
And please download, make sure you download the Evening Rush Network app so you can check out not just our program, Live by the Three Sports Podcast, but also the other great programming on the network. A lot of interesting stuff, a lot of interesting topics besides sports. So something else might catch your interest. So please support the other programs on the network. So with that being said, man, it was a wild weekend with the playoffs in the NFL. You know, we're down to four now, and then there were four. So championship games are coming up this coming weekend. What were your thoughts on the games? Any upsets? Anything surprise you, or did everything kind of go the way you thought it was going to go?
I was surprised Buffalo lost.
Yeah, and the big thing is not right at home, right? And then they're saying, and not just that they lost, the way they lost, they pretty much just got trampled on both ends of the field. They got, you know, wide receivers yelling at the quarterback on the sideline. They had all type. They just had a meltdown from what it seems. So that's never like to see that. But if I'm being 100% honest, I'm not a Bills fan. So even though, you know, they're AFC East, but they their fans are an interesting bunch. So it was I was not upset that they lost the way that they did. But that's not sour grapes. That's just, you know, keeping it real. So so the Bengals are going to advance into the AFC Championship game, and they will face the Chiefs, who Jaguars gave them a game. It was not easy. It was final score was 27-20 in Kansas City. Jaguars represented themselves well, and they have a good young team that's, you know, even though they finished under 500, I think they have a chance to keep going with, you know, a good young nucleus, a good quarterback, and they're going to have their chances coming up. Is, you know, obviously the AFC is a tough division with the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills, but Jacksonville held their own, so that they'll be an interesting team coming up. Did you get a chance to check out any of that game?
Yeah, that's when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Might be in better for Kansas City because he's gonna have to sit in the pocket.
Yeah, not run around. Yeah.
So that might be good for them.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, you never want, you know, yeah, you never want one of the best, if not the best player in the league to get hurt. And they're saying I didn't see if they said it was a regular ankle sprain or a tweak or a high ankle sprain. I didn't see exactly. So that's tough. I'm sure he's gonna play. Well, I'm pretty sure he's gonna try to play through and make it happen and come this far. So unless he can't go out there and he doesn't get cleared, I think he'll be out there and try to do his best, and we'll see what he can pull off. Obviously, the Bengals are gonna try to take advantage of that. Like you said, you know, don't have to maybe not have to worry about his legs as much and keep him in the pocket. And hey, it'll be a good game. So that was the AFC. So the AFC is set. You have the Chiefs against the Bengals, and that game is Sunday night, 6:30 game. So the AFC is second. So then in the NFC Championship game, you have the Eagles, who did their thing against the Giants, took care of business pretty easily, 38-7. So that wasn't much of a contest on that side. And then you had the Cowboys and the 49ers, low-scoring game. Looks like a high baseball score game, 19-12. But the 49ers and Cowboys. I know that the 49ers is not saying that the 49ers is not your team, but they're your Super Bowl favorites. So I'm sure you were expecting the outcome that it had. You've been talking about their defense all year, and mm-hmm. they shut them down and only gave up 12 points. So they're looking strong. How do you still feeling that way? You think it's going to be the 49ers taking now? Where is that? Who finished with the best record? The Eagles or the 49ers? Eagles. Okay, so that game is going to be in Philly, but you're still thinking the 49ers are going to go in there and get that one.
I think so. I mean, I was watching something today. They were saying how what's his name? Purdy? That's his name? Purdy?
Yeah, Brock Purdy. Yeah.
Purdy. Mm-hmm. He played well against Hurts in college.
Okay. So, all right. Okay.
I mean, Hurts didn't really do too good against in a big game. So they're trying to 49. They should be able to sneak in there. But I don't know. That's a toss up.
It is. You know, 49ers got to make that. You know, they got to come east, so they got to travel against them, and you know, the Lincoln Financial is going to be rocked. They will be an absolute fire out there. That's a different. You know, Brock Purdy's a young player. I don't know if he's ready for them for those Eagles fans. They probably they got good fans on the West Coast, but that Eagle fan heat is a little different. It's intense, to say the least. I lived in Philadelphia for 9 years, and I know how crazy they are about the Eagles. That's another level of fandom in that place. So that's going to be a pressure cooker for real. So we'll see. We'll see if it holds up. But that'll be interesting. All right, so I know you're going with the Niners over the Eagles. And then who do you have in the AFC game? You're going with the Chiefs? You're going to go with the Chiefs over the Bengals? Okay. All right. We will see. We will see. So that'll be set. So that first game is 3:00 on Sunday, and then the second one's at 6:30. So by then we'll know, by Sunday evening before midnight, we should know who's playing in the Super Bowl a couple weeks later. So that's looking pretty set. So we had that. Now the one thing that came out of it actually didn't happen, but they said that if the Bills had beaten the Bengals, and I don't know exactly. The reason, well, I guess it's because if the Bills had beaten the Bengals and maybe the tiebreakers or whatever from the in-season thing, they couldn't determine because the Bills and Bengals previous game had gotten canceled because of the DeMar Hamlin situation, that if the Bills won, that the Chiefs-Bills game was going to be a neutral site game. Did you hear that?
Yeah, and they lost a lot of money.
Yeah, they did. They did. So it didn't happen, right? And it didn't happen. But now they're saying that is something on the table for discussion in the NFL that now make going forward. They're looking at it. It's not something that's been confirmed or whatever, but they're looking at the possibility of making the championship games, the AFC championship and the NFC championship, neutral site games going in. So how do you feel about that?
That's horrible.
Yeah, you don't like it?
That defeats the purpose of home field advantage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they do that in college bowl games.
Right. Well, it's two things, right? Obviously, there's the money aspects because they can sell I was reading something. They said they will never, as much money, this was an interesting comment. They said as much money as the NFL could make by giving a company the right to name the Super Bowl. Right. So say if they called it the Pepsi Super Bowl or whatever, Coca-Cola, whatever, they said the amount of money that's been offered for that is ridiculous amounts of money. But the NFL says they refuse to do it no matter what the amount is. They would never do that. Right. So I guess that's the money that they're leaving on the table for sponsorship to name the Super Bowl. But they said if they go to the championship games, that would be on the table. So like you said, it would be similar to the bowl game set up now, where now you would have the Ford NFC Championship game and the McDonald's AFC Championship game, right? So number one is financial, and then also I guess the excitement of it, because now you can bring both fan bases in and your just regular football fans that want to see the game, and it would be like a basically, like you said, treat it like a bowl game, but it would be a different experience for the teams and the fans and all of that. And then, Super Bowl obviously is a neutral site, but you're not a fan. You don't like it.
The only positive I see is that for weather-wise, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It might be a good look.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't like it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, they're willing to try stuff. They're willing to try stuff, I guess. So it's like I said, I don't know what that process would be. I don't know if the Players Association has to sign off it or a majority of the owners. I don't know exactly what that process would be. Obviously, you know, if they're interested in it, they're going to try to put together some sort of proposal. And I guarantee that, like I said, it's going to be money is going to be at the forefront of it. Right. Like, you know, money is definitely going to be at the forefront of the reason why they do it. So when they start throwing those numbers on how much money they can make off of it, maybe, you know, the owners may vote for it. They may not, whatever the proposal is. But yeah, I mean, it's I guess they're looking into it and exploring it. And then, you know, and honestly, it's one of those things, like I know you said you don't like it, but the way the NFL works, they can only make more money. Right. They're not going to lose any money. So even if people, all the fans, oh, this is terrible, home field advantage, it won't matter. That joint will be sold out. People will travel and, you know, they'll get their money from the endorsements that people will watch. So, you know, for them, the NFL really is, you know, as much people might complain, but it's all upside for them because they know they're going to get that money. They got a captive audience. People are not turning that off. So and people will travel, you know, especially if you have a good fan. And if it helps also, if you, like you said, if the weather's nice, and it's in an area where the weather is nice and people can plan ahead and know, like, okay, I'm going to buy my stuff in advance and get my hotels and my whatever, because I know the dates and where it's going to be, the location, just your generic football fan. And then if their team ends up being in it, then that's even better.
Where's the Super Bowl at?
Is it Arizona this year?
Arizona, yeah.
So that's what they do. They said it might be what's nice weather spots, but then they said they might move it around to different cities, maybe that haven't hosted a Super Bowl before. And it's kind of like a trial to see, like, okay, if we host it, you know, say we have it in this city that's never hosted a Super Bowl before, but now, you know, we give them a championship game, it goes well, the support is good, the infrastructure is good, and it runs smooth. And they say, you know what, maybe we consider you guys for a Super Bowl in the future. That was another piece that they talked
about. Let me ask you, as a Jet fan, if y'all was, let's just say for some strange reason, y'all got like the number one seed, video game or something like that.
Yeah.
How would you feel
if it wasn't at MetLife?
Yeah.
I've been to MetLife once, and I mean the game I went to, it was a regular season game, it was the beginning of the season. So it wasn't like packed like that. I've heard that when it's really going, it's going. But MetLife isn't a great stadium, so I can't say that I would, you know, be, oh man, that sucks, it's not at MetLife. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I would be heartbroken. Now, yes, of course, if the Jets were in the AFC Championship game and it was a home game and now it's packed out Jets fans and all of that, yeah, I guess, from the experience standpoint, that would probably be a little bit more fun than a neutral site. But hey, listen, beggars can't be choosers, man. At this point, listen, it could be on the moon. I don't care where the game is at. We're playing in it. I'm gonna be, I don't know if I get to the moon, but I'll be watching at least. So now they, you know, we can, you know, I try not to be a homer with my team a little bit, but I don't know if you saw that the Jets fired their offensive coordinator a couple of weeks ago. And then they were doing a bunch of interviews. And then today they officially announced that they hired Nathaniel Hackett, who was the coach of the Broncos. But he got let go actually before the season actually finished. And so he's going to be the offensive coordinator now. And so the speculation is because he was a former offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers' situation is not looking like he may not want to continue to be there, that speculation is that it's not speculation that those two are really tight. That's not speculation, but the speculation is that it's a domino effect and that not it's a guarantee, but that it's at least the Jets are insignificantly in the running because of that. Did you hear that? Hear about that?
I saw something about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't dig too deep into the Jets, so And if we dig too deep, I was just like, oh, okay.
Oh, man.
He ain't coming in, so.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, for what?
He's not, you know, he thinks the Jets' talent is a little bit closer to being that he may, if he's hanging on, if he's going to continue to play, it's obviously because he wants to. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, but you would expect it to be because he wants to make another run at a ring. So if he thinks that the Jets have a young talent on offense and good defense that he can plug and play and at least have a chance to try to win, maybe that's, you know, something that's attractive to him. I don't know how I feel about it, but, you know, it's –
How do you feel about it?
See, I can go 1,000 different directions with this. Off rip, I don't have a good feeling in my gut about it. I don't, because we tried it with Brett Favre, number one. Didn't work, right? So now, yes, you know, former Green Bay quarterbacks, all of that, right? So that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go the exact same way. I always feel the Jets are at their best when they go with their homegrown talent, even though I don't think that Zach Wilson is the answer. But when we always try to go for these like big name, you know, free agent superstars, it never works out for us. Like we're better when we have the underdog type of thing. For whatever reason, I just don't feel it's going to work out.
How old?
If he wasn't come 39, and he'll turn 40 during the season. So, you know, now listen, the reality is he's better than anybody we have on the roster. So it's going to be an upgrade regardless. I will say that. But, you know, it's just I just don't feel like those situations work out for us. So that's got me a little nervous. Then you have the dynamic of, you know, he's got some interesting views, man. And, you know, that New York media, they're going to be just peppering him with off non-football questions. But the problem is when the Jets are like that, we don't operate well with that type. You know what I mean? Like we need to be low key and just concentrating on football. When we got other stuff going on, it doesn't work. It just goes too crazy because everybody wants to talk about the Jets and make fun. And he gets up there and says something outlandish. And then, I mean, like when he was saying some stuff before, it was a big deal because it's the Green Bay Packers. But the difference is he had national media, you know, covering him and stuff. But the local Green Bay people aren't going to really go at him like that.
Mm-hmm.
Between the sports talk and just the reporters and all that, like they will just not stop asking questions that just to see him squirm. And he's not going to squirm too long. He's just going to say it's how he feels. And then, boom, it's going to be – I'm not like as crazy as it sounds. It's like how you going to turn down a 4-time MVP and all the Super Bowl winner and all of that. And it sounds great. I just don't feel like when we try stuff like that, it's just not going to go our way. He'll get hurt or something will happen wrong or that just the locker room won't work. With something's going to go wrong and it just won't work the way, you know, you look at the best case scenario. Oh, yeah, this is great. But just when it happens, I just don't think it will go the right way. I just don't. The options that are out there, you know, Lamar Jackson was a name, you know, but it seems like he might be going back because they're talking about they're going to give him his money and they're going to let him pick the next offensive coordinator. And so it looks like he might
let him pick it.
That's what they said. Not pick it, but be in the, in the room, in the conversations, whatever, as far as. He'll be able to give some input now. How much it is, you know, whatever, I don't know. But you know, that's at least what is being said at this point. So it looks like they might be able to reconcile that situation over there. You know, Derek Carr is another name that's been floated. I actually think it's, you know, that's a good name. I think he's a above average quarterback. He's not elite, but I think he's above average. So I think he would be a good fit. It won't cost us a whole lot draft pick wise and all of that, because it looks like he's going to get cut, so it probably won't cost us anything from a draft picks perspective. Only downside to him is they say he can't play in the cold. You know, I don't know how true that is, but that could be a downside. But I think that's the best option. But you know, if they go with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I'll get on board with it because that's my squad. I'm not going to turn my back on him, but I don't know. I'm not a fan. He's really good. Let me not say I'm not a fan of Aaron Rodgers, but just that the situation, I don't know.
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think about your boy Ed Reed, man?
Ed Reed's situation at Bethune-Cookman is, and it's crazy. You know, I've actually met Reggie Theus a couple of times. Really nice guy. Reggie Theus is the AD now at Bethune-Cookman. And so Ed Reed was, I guess, offered and accepted the head coach position at Bethune-Cookman, agreed to accept it in principle, but apparently didn't sign the contracts and paperwork and stuff like that. So the deal was not finalized. He goes to, I guess, start work, gets to campus, and it's not as clean or upkept as he would think it should be. And he proceeded to go on a social media expletive filled tirade about the administration and just everything, and just went off on people. And of course, because he does that, that went viral, right? And so now the administration is embarrassed, and it turned into a whole thing, and they rescinded the offer, and they told him, no, you're not going to be the coach anymore. And you know, you can see it both ways. And I mean, it's
bad, dude.
In their defense, I have been to Bethune-Cookman several times. Now, I haven't been recently, so I don't know exactly what was going on at that point in time, but I did hear that they had some hurricane stuff going on down there that they were still in the process of cleaning up. Now, they said his office wasn't cleaned and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's not excusing any of that stuff because, you know, there's a certain way to do business and things should be done. But on the flip side, there's no job where you can just go cursing out your bosses on social media to keep your job. Even if you're telling the truth, that doesn't work. You can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you can walk into the office and say, hey, man, you know, I'm not happy with, you know, you can do all of that. But once you go on social media and just put them on blast, there's no job you can do that.
You think he's trying to be like Dion?
What's that?
You think he was trying to be like Dion?
Well, I think that's his personality. I think that's Ed Reed's personality to just be, you know, upfront and, you know, brash. And then I know they showed some videos of him talking, I guess his history is cleanliness is a big thing with him, right? Like, because he would talk about in the locker room how, like, he would get on his teammates if they cut their ankle tape off or their wrist tape and just threw it on the floor instead of putting it in the garbage can, or just leaving their towels in front of their locker instead of walking them over to the towel bin. And, you know, he was big on that as far as cleanliness and order and stuff like that. So if that's his thing, and then he gets to his place of employment and he feels that it's not up to his standards, that's, I guess, a trigger for him. And he got triggered. He pulled it. so whether he was right or wrong, it just, at the end of the day, you still have to be a professional. You still have to handle things a certain way. Again, you know me, I don't like to criticize other coaches. However, you do, if you're in charge of young men, you do have to model, you know, the appropriate behavior. So you can't walk, you know, put your, like, that's not a good example to set. Like, yes, you want to uphold a certain thing and hold people to task and all of that, but there's a way that you handle business. And I don't know if teaching young men that you should just, if you don't like something, just go on social media and curse everybody out. I don't know if I know that that's not the right way to teach them, you know, the way to handle business. So I believe he was wrong for that. In the way he handled it. So whether he was trying to be Dion or thought it was, you know, going to be sweet, I don't know. I think maybe it was just his personality. And I mean, he's never had a job before. You know what I mean? Like, not, I mean, he hasn't had to, right? Like, you know, he's a pro football player. So you never, you know, you can't just wild out on your bosses. Like, you know, that don't fly. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, especially since he hasn't even done anything yet.
Right. Like, you know, I would assume that before he accepted the job, he walked around campus. I would assume that they brought him on and said, okay, this is, you know, everything. Now, maybe was it clean the day that he went and then something happened, or I don't know. But I'm just saying, I would assume before you accepted the job, you saw your working conditions. So if you accepted it with the understanding that, okay, this is something that needs to be worked on, okay, then, you know, then that's what it is. Like, once you accept something, you accept everything that comes with it. Like, yeah, it's great to say and walk around, yeah, I'm the head coach and all of that. But no, like, if you accept the responsibility, you accept everything that comes with it. So, okay, if it's lacking with the facilities or the cleanliness or whatever, okay, that's part of the deal as being the head football coach at Bethune-Cookman. Now, if you want to improve it, okay, that's part of your plan. That's part of your methods of improving the program. Then that's mm-hmm. part of it. Then, okay, get in there, get to work. And if that's what you want to do, and it's either working with the people there or bringing in some outside people and trying to make it, figuring out a way to make it happen, that's what it is. Like, it's not complaining about it or going on social media. Because that, my thing is, like, what did you think you were going to accomplish with that?
He's like, from Florida, so he should know how Purdue it is.
Yes, yeah. But my thing was how, and I hear you, and I hear the bulldog coming out of you, Chris.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's like you from New York and you complaining about MetLife Stadium. Like,
right, yeah.
You know what it's like. Why would you come to New York if you know what it's like?
Bethune was rough. I'm not gonna, you know,
Bethune was rough.
When I was coaching at Howard, we used to go down there and they had the gym with the stage in the back. But I heard they got a new
DJ in the stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the fish fry going. Yeah, yeah, all that. yeah. But I haven't been down there in several years now. But I heard that they got a new facility for basketball. At least I'm not sure about football, what they had going on facility wise and all that. But you know, I mean, listen, that's part of it. And that's part of what Deion did. He was like, yeah, okay, I took the job. It was a certain way. Okay, let's get in here. Let's roll our sleeves up. Let's get to work and improve it. Like, you're not walking into, you know, yes, there should be a certain standard of expectations of how a college program is supposed to run. I'm in total agreement with that. But if it's not and you accept the job, okay, then that's part of it, is for you to be a part of building towards that, you know, that's what I think. But you know, hey, I guess he don't need the money because he wasn't too concerned. sometimes when situations happen, I just like, man, people must not like working, because sometimes you see people do stuff on their jobs or just but I'm saying, as far as, yeah, okay, let me change. They must not like paychecks, or so, you know, or that the paycheck must not mean that much to them. Because sometimes you
see let me see how much he was getting.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. For him, it's not the paycheck. He must not care about working, because it's like, you're just gonna curse out everybody. Yeah, but what did he think their response was gonna be? Like, that's the thing that always gets me. Like, what did you think? How did you think they were gonna respond to that? Or, you know, he probably just didn't even care, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he cares. Yeah. He's just like, he said, I'm going to just let it fly. I don't care anymore. So.
I don't know how much he made, though.
Yeah. And then, you know, then they said, you know, now it's gotten ugly now because, we'll see. I don't know. It's probably, you know, irreconcilable at this point, but they're saying the students or the players on the team, they're writing a petition and saying, you know, they want him reinstated because everything that he was saying is right. And they're now trying to hold the administration to task and say, you know, y'all are wrong and we want him to be the coach, and they're doing all of this stuff and signing petitions. I don't know if that's going to get him anywhere. I think it's probably too far gone at this point, because.
Yeah, he took a shot at Reggie Theus. He said, no AD should serve as a head coach.
What is he coaching? He's not coaching the basketball team, is he? Is he really?
Reggie Theus, yeah.
How about that? Oh man, I didn't know that. I knew he took the AD job, and obviously he's coached before, but I didn't. Oh man, wow. See, I didn't even know that. How about that? He was a good college coach. He was, you know, coaching the pros too. But he did a good job when he was in college.
Yeah.
How about that? Wow. Wow, he double dipping ungodly. taking both of them checks. Yeah, and he don't need another one. He don't need it either because he
plays. Can you do that though? Like you could write the check and who fires it?
President, I guess. I don't know. Okay, right. And can you get fired at one and not fired at the other? Or if you mess up in one, you got to go in both? I don't know. Man, yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, nah, that's we'll see who the next coach of Bethune-Cookman is gonna be because it don't look like it's gonna be Ed Reed. So let's take a quick break for halftime, and we'll be back with the second half of Live by the Three Sports podcast on the Evening Rush Network.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your girl, Chrissy, here to let you know that the Evening Rush Network now has an app. Yes, an app, you guys. So you can stay connected on the go and watch all your favorite podcast shows. You can download the app at Google Play Store or Apple iTunes. So spread the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Also, if you're looking to start a podcast and really don't know how, well, hit us up at theeveningrushnetwork@gmail.com and inquire about time slots, pricings, and everything you may need to get started. We got you. Join the winning team, the Evening Rush Network. And also, download that app. What are you waiting for? Get to it. Now, here are our sponsors.
All right, everyone, we're back with Live by the Three Sports podcast with Tyler. This is Coach Matt. And while we just got finished talking about NFL, former NFL players turned college football coaches. So now we're going to turn our attention towards the hardwood, the NBA. So it's been ramping up a little bit. We can talk about who's been playing well. But first, I saw something come across either yesterday or the day before that I thought was pretty interesting. The NBA All-Star Game is coming up. It's February 19th, so that's about, I guess, a little more than 3 weeks away. And they are changing the format to how they're doing it. So they're keeping the what they've been doing as far as the two leading vote getters on either side become the captains of the team, and they get to pick their teammates. So before they had it like a pregame, not a pregame show, but they had, a draft a couple of days or weeks before the All-Star game when they picked their teams. And now they're switching it a little bit. So I'll read the statement. So it says the NBA has made a slight tweak to its annual All-Star draft. In past years, the draft has come weeks before the All-Star game, allowing players and fans to know who was playing for which team well in advance. That's going to change this season. The league announced on TNT this past Tuesday that this season the draft will be held live at 7:30 p.m. just ahead of tip-off of the February 19th All-Star Game.
Oh, wow.
The mechanics of the draft won't change. The two captains will be the player from each conference that receives the most fan votes. So right now it's going to be LeBron for the West and Giannis from the East. And those players will then draft four other starters, each from the designated pool of starters. So the leading vote-getters in the starters pool. They'll pick four of those guys for their teammates, and then followed by seven reserves, each from the designated pool of 14 reserves. The coaches are going to stay the same. The leading, whoever's in first place on both conferences, that'll be the coach. And that's how they're doing it. So it seems like they're going old school pickup game style. You know what I mean? Like you sit on the fence at the and they're like, all right, I got you. They're not even doing shoot for it. So it's just old school pickup like the park. So what are your thoughts? How do you like that format?
I don't know.
Different. That's the thing. It's different, but it's not. It's different for the NBA and how they do things. But that's how
dudes came. They changed the logic behind that.
I don't think the NBA officially commented. The one thing that they said was somebody speculated was that they felt the thing that happened with Kevin Durant and James Harden after the trade went down and there was some bad blood between those guys, that they felt like it got too personal. And then now that became the story of, for the next two or three weeks of them, right, them, you know, that dynamic of, oh, Kevin Durant didn't pick James Harden, and then you got LeBron laughing, and it just turned into, it took kind of took a life on its own. So now, again, I don't think the NBA made that statement. That was somebody maybe just speculating is something I read, but they said that might have something to do with it. So now you pick, you know, you do the pick right before the game, so there's no time for, you know, any of that. It's just, all right, boom, I got you, I got you, I got you, I got you, and then, all right, we throw it up and we hoop. That's, I mean, that could be, that sounds somewhat reasonable. Like I said, I think it's different and it's a little bit exciting because, like I said, I feel like it takes it back to the playground. Like, yo, I got you, I got you. You know, I like that dynamic aspect of it. You know, somebody said, well, you know, so yeah.
How would that work with uniforms? They have to know before.
I guess.
Are they going to make uniforms on the spot?
Or they just make two sets for everybody. And then it's just like, all right, who you picked? All right, boom, you got it. So I guess, yeah, they'll just make a double set for every player that's eligible. And then you just, you know, they give you the one that you got, I guess. I'm sure they have all those details hashed out. I guess, are they just all in one big locker room or one big waiting room? It's like, all right, you go over there. You go over there, Like, you know, it'll be, you know, logistic wise, it'll be, you know, some behind the scenes stuff. I'm sure will be interesting. That would be a really cool thing to see. Like if they do like a documentary or like a behind the scenes of the whole process and how, it, you know, the game and all that, that would be interesting to see the behind the scenes stuff of how they put it all together. But so, you don't know how you feel about it yet. You're going to wait to see how it all shakes out.
It's, I don't know. It just seems weird. I don't know.
Okay. Now, one thing that I read is said that even though you're not going to have that time lapse, and obviously people weren't saying that James Harden, you know, was not a good player. It was more so, you know, Kevin Durant wasn't going to pick him on his team because of their personal differences. But now I read something that it says something about, how is it going to be if you're the last person picked? Like, you're the first, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like that takes it back to the schoolyard. Like, it's like, all right, you got your five, your four, or the other dudes got five, and then you left with the last, you know, the last dude sitting there waiting. You just got to take them to get five. Now, obviously, these dudes are all stars, so, you know, being last isn't the worst thing in the world, but at the end of the day, you're still picked last, so... Do you think that can turn into a thing? A dude being salty?
Yeah, because there's no time in between that. Like,
damn, right. So you don't have time to get over it.
You know, people are gonna be clowning them.
You know what I'm saying? You got no time to get over it, and then bam, social media is gonna be on fire.
Somebody gotta be picked last.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Somebody's gotta be last.
It'd probably be somebody that's maybe their first or second time.
Right, if they say it by senior. I mean, and if they let them comment, you know, maybe that'll, you know, if they let the the captains comment, and if, right, like you say, like, say if it's a difference between somebody that's been an all-star, you know, a few times, and then somebody, maybe it's their first time and that's the last pick, and they'll say, okay, well, I'm going to go with this person just because they have more experience. And if they're able to smooth it that way, then maybe it might soften it up a little bit. But if it's just like, nah, I ain't rocking with him, I'm going and then the last person like, oh yeah, I guess I'll take him. I got no choice, I'll take him. So yeah,
that's right before tip off. That's wild.
Yeah, that is. That'll be ill. Like, you think they'll do it like that? Like, not even virtual, just line them up, just everybody across the court, and just be like, all right, bam, you. Like, you got the first pick. That would. I mean, like I said, that takes it back, man. That takes it back. That'll be. I mean, listen. That would be, I would watch that part of it. Just, you know, just like I said, because you don't even see that anymore. So just to see that dynamic of that, just lining dudes up and like, all right, I got you. That would be interesting. I would watch just that part of it for sure. And
there's a pregame segment to the All-Star game.
Right. So I said, right. So I guess it says that part will be at 7:30, and then I guess the game starts at 8. Well, I guess they got to get dressed and then give them some time to warm up. But Even, well, I don't even know. When they do the All-Star game, I know they don't practice, but do they even, like, when they do the All-Star game?
Practice, no walkthrough, no nothing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at least, right, give them something, you know, or is it just because, you know, you would think that when the team is picked a few weeks in advance, they at least might have a little get-together. Again, they're not going to go hard practicing and scrimmaging and all of that, but maybe just at least a little get-together. Okay, this is what we're going to try to do. This is who's going to be playing where. This is the type of actions we're going to run, whatever, just to give a little bit of, not structure, but at least some sort of organization out there. But if you do a pickup style, I mean, now people really be complaining if the game gets ugly just because dudes just out there doing anything because there's no organization because they just figured out who they were playing with, you know, 15 minutes beforehand. But, you know. I like that they're trying stuff, and if it doesn't work this year and it's more problematic than, you know, what than the KD and James Harden situation. Was that?
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was, and it made for good TV. It was, because it was a little bit funny, but, you know, maybe they, you know, I don't, you know, maybe some behind the scenes after it happened, maybe it got ugly or James, you know, who knows? And maybe they said, all right, we can't do this anymore because it's too, you know, whatever. You got LeBron holding up the clipboard in front of his face. and then Charles and Shaq had to say something and make, you know, just hype it up and make it even, you know, more crazy than it was. You know, that's you know, but that, you know, that's part of it. That's part. And you know, it's not like you're going to stop those guys from saying anything, because I'm sure they're going to be on, oh, such and such got picked last. You know, they'll start it and then it'll go on social media and all of that. It'll go crazy. But yeah, man, that's well, we'll see. We're about 3 weeks away, 3 weeks away from it. So
where's it at? And
that's a great question. I do not know that.
Florida? No.
Do I want to say Atlanta, maybe?
Salt Lake City was Utah.
So, yes, we did say that. Oh, yep, it's in Utah. Okay, we did say that. All right, okay, all right. So now let's jump to the power rankings. Like I said, we're still about 3 weeks away from the All-Star game, so still a lot of basketball to be played before the break. So checking in at number 10, holding strong from last week. Got the New York Knicks. They're still in there. They're still hanging strong at number 10. Got the Miami Heat, who've been playing a little bit better of late. Yeah, Cleveland still checking in at number 8. They've fallen down a little bit. They're dropping, but they're still in there. They're still in there. You got Sacramento, you know, young up and coming team that's been doing their thing. Mike Brown, the coach, doing a great job. They're number 7. You got Brooklyn, who's kind of not dropping, but they're, you know, they won yesterday, right? I think they lost to the Sixers. They lost to the Sixers yesterday. Then you got Milwaukee, again, who was hot at the beginning of the season. They've cooled off a little bit. Memphis still doing their thing, but they lost in a really good game to Golden State, right? Jordan Poole. Did you see what happened in that game with Steph getting kicked out?
What, you threw his mouthpiece?
So the story was, it was late in the game. They're trying to get a basket. I think they were down. And then Jordan Poole, I didn't see the shot, but Jordan Poole allegedly took an ill-advised shot. And Steph got very mad because he took the shot, thought it was a bad shot. So Steph turned around and threw his mouthpiece, like, I don't know where it went, but he was facing his basket, turned around and threw his mouthpiece. So it must have went out of bounds, like underneath the basket, you know, on the other side. Referee saw it. Double teched him, threw him out the game. So he got thrown out the game with like maybe a minute and some change left in the game. And then Jordan Poole goes on to hit the game-winning shot to win the game. So they interviewed him afterwards. He didn't know what happened, why Steph got thrown out, or at least he said he didn't know. And then I guess they told him or whatever. And then they showed a little video of Steph waiting for Jordan Poole in the hallway after the game. It was actually like a cool little moment because, like, you could see Steph's back and you see Jordan Poole walking towards him, and he got maybe like 10 feet from him, and he just takes his mouth. Jordan Poole takes his mouthpiece and throws it at the wall, like, throws his mouthpiece, and the both of them start laughing. They dap it up. You know, Steph's like, you know, you can't hear what they're saying, but they're dapping each other up. So I guess it kind of broke the ice that Jordan Poole did that. Yeah, yeah. So, so that, you know, you like to see that, you know, that they were able to, you know, obviously now if he doesn't hit that shot the vibe to win the game, the vibe probably a lot different. But, you know, he did it. So, hey, that's, listen, man, I tell people that all the time. I tell my players, like, that's basketball, man. Either the shot goes in or it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, so that everything changes. It's results, man. So you can say it was a good shot, bad shot, whatever. But you know what? If it goes in and you win, that's it. That's what it is. And if you miss it, you lose. That's it. That's it. That, you know, that's just the way it goes. So, you know, so if he misses that shot, that dap in the hallway, maybe it still happens, maybe, but maybe it doesn't. But, you know, so that was an interesting thing to see.
Think that was a good sportsmanship
for him to throw his mouthpiece? The original one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Steph. No. Why are you throwing your mouthpiece? Yeah. And especially, like, well, number one, you shouldn't be throwing your mouthpiece, number one. And then number two, like, you're showing up your teammate. Now, yes, you can be frustrated. And, yes, Steph is super competitive. He probably thinks he should be taking the last, you know, shot. Is it a little bit of that? You know, who does this young kid think he is? You know, I'm Steph Curry. Like, I should be – maybe that's a part of it. I don't think Steph is a selfish player. Never been that way. But who knows what their vibe and what their
dynamic
is, right? But – you know, there could be a little bit of that. They're saying Jordan Poole is the future, or, you know, so who knows? But, yes. Yeah. Right. So, no, yeah, you shouldn't be throwing your mouthpiece, and you certainly shouldn't be throwing your mouthpiece because your teammate took a shot. Now, yes, it's the heat of the game, heat of the battle. Emotions run high. I get all that, you know, and I'm sure Steph would be the first to admit that, yeah, that wasn't the right thing to do, but it got the best of him. And, you know, and if they were able to laugh it off and shake it off again, because he did hit the shot. If he missed it, different story, but he did. So if they were able to laugh it off and dap it up afterwards and move on, you know, peacefully, then that's a good thing. So can't knock it. You know, it was a moment, and they move forward. So we got that. So where was it at? Well, Memphis. All right. Like I said, they lost to Golden State last night, but they're still holding strong at four. Boston's still clinging at three, but they're still, you know, one of the best teams in the league. And then you got Philly, who's rising up. They're starting to figure it out. You know, they always had the talent, and now it's starting to gel a little bit. And Embiid is crushing it, playing really well. Now, did you see the as a side note, did you see the comment that he made towards Hakeem Olajuwon? Did you see that? That's I could tell by your face. He wasn't feeling that. Now, was it what he actually said? Was it the tone of how he responded, or a combination of both?
Just all of it. He just
all of the above.
Nothing. Like, you ain't done nothing in the league.
So, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain players that you just off of GP, you shouldn't even respond to.
Or you just or you take the even higher road and just say you right, OG. You know what I'm saying?
Just leave it at that. How many people gonna argue with Hakeem?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I wasn't feeling it. I knew he was gonna say. As soon as I saw what Hakeem said, and I looked, I said, I know he's gonna say something.
He just couldn't take it in stride.
Yeah, he just couldn't.
Now let me ask you this: do you agree? Okay, so how he responded, you had a problem with? Do you agree with his assessment versus what Hakeem said about how?
Let's see exactly what he said. What did he say? He said, "Yo, Olajuwon's close. He got all the moves, but leveraging the moves is different. Why would he be shooting threes? He had it." Yeah, I mean, he makes sense. It makes sense.
Okay, now did you see
what he say? Sure. I mean, what he said is true.
Right. So, okay. So there's one thing to say. And then Embiid.
You got what Embiid said?
I don't have the exact quote. But you got it. So pretty much, I'll paraphrase it. You might be able to find the exact quote. But paraphrasing, basically what he said is, this isn't the 90s anymore. Posting up isn't, you know, we don't play like that anymore. paraphrasing, and then he said, you know, you must not have a high basketball IQ or something like that, which that's what it's like. All right, man. Now, you know what I'm saying? You started off okay with your, you know, even if you don't agree, disagree, but you started off all right. But then once you took it to, you know, you must not have a high basketball IQ or something along those lines, then it's like, all right, man, now you took it in a direction that wasn't, you know. But, you know, these dudes, they don't like being criticized.
Or even easy to double.
What's that?
He said it's easy to double.
Yeah. But what was the last sentence?
He says, funny, when you got these old guys always talking about posting up, need to spend time and all that stuff. You can't win this way anymore. It's the freaking 90s. It's not the freaking 90s or 80s like it used to be. So they must not have any basketball IQ.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, like I said, that's. he said what he said, I guess, but that, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not going to say it's what's right or wrong for one man to say to another. If he felt offended by that, you know, I think Kareem deserves a little bit more grace and a little bit more respect than to say that he doesn't have a high basketball IQ. I don't think what Akeem said attacked, you know, Joel Embiid. I just think he made an opinion, you know, I don't think it was an attack, and I don't think it was malicious. I don't think it was said, you know, disrespectfully. I think he just said, okay, I think he should, you know, if whatever. Okay. Like that's the thing. Like it's just a different age, I guess. Like, you know, if an older person that you does what you did or whatever gave you advice back in the day, even if you didn't agree with it, you just said, all right, OG, I hear you. You know what I mean? And you just left it at that. Like, it didn't, just kept it moving. You didn't have to just do whatever they say, but you just handle it tactfully. Like, oh yeah, I hear you. I appreciate it. And then you just do your thing. I guess it's a different era now, and they just say
like the Grizzlies. You know, they talk a lot of trash.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about that. What did you think of that scene at the Grizzlies game with the Lakers with Shannon Sharp and all of that?
I wanted Shannon Sharp to get busy.
Now, who'd you want? Now, who did you want to see him get busy with? Steven Adams, with Ja Morant's pops, with Ja. Who did you want to see him get busy with? Dylan Brooks. What's that?
Brooks.
So apparently the it started with Brooks, right? But then Steven Adams jumped up first and he had to be held back. And then Ja Morant's pops and Shannon Sharp started to go at it, which they did show afterwards of them dapping it up and, you know, squashing it or whatever. And then they both said on social media that they pieced it out afterwards again, which is great to see that, you know, these guys are able to do that and move on, which is good. That's what grown men are supposed to do. So that's all positive. But yeah, that was an interesting scene, man. Honestly, I'm not one of these people that thinks that things are staged. Like, I'm not one of those conspiracy theory people that when something happens, that was a stage. They did that. Like, when I saw it at first, though, I was just like, is this real? Like, this dude, like what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, is this really real or is this like some promotional bit that they're doing? What's that?
I don't think they wanted no smoke with him.
He's an in shape dude. That's.
I mean, Adams. I don't know. That might have been a bad look for Adams.
You think he's been folding him? Okay.
Shannon Sharp is huge.
He's a big dude. Steve Adams is a big dude too, though. Now I don't know if he can fight, but
that's a different type of big. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a full tight end, grown ass tight end.
He is. He's a big dude.
He's 6'7".
Him, yeah, 6'6", 6'7", probably. And he's still throwing them weights around. He's still throwing them around.
6'2".
Is he? Looks taller than that.
Yeah.
He's taller than that. Tight end, that's actually kind of small for a tight end, 6'2".
Why did Ed Reed expose?
You see it now? He exposed it. And they played together in Baltimore, right? That doesn't necessarily be, and that's the crazy thing. I think they was all on the team together. Dion, Ed Reed, and Shannon, all at the same time.
He said, put the Hennessy down and come holler at me. You want to yell across the court at basketball players? I'm yelling across IG straight up because you got your story.
they all done went crazy now. This is all, this is everybody's beefing. Everybody's beefing. Everybody's beefing. So, all right. So we got Philadelphia checking in at number two. And then you got Denver, the Nuggets, holding strong at number one, playing well. You know, we talked about it last week. The Joker's still doing his thing. So, yeah, they're handling business right now, but we've still got more than half the season left. So we'll see how they keep going. Some couple big games coming up. Actually, the Knicks and the Celtics are playing now, right? Yeah, I think that game started at 7:30.
I think the Knicks are losing by 27 right now.
Hey, yeah. The Celtics are good. It's in Boston too, I believe.
Nah, Knicks up by four. Knicks up by two.
Ooh, wow. Okay. All right. Good for them. What's the time?
Third quarter, 9 minutes left.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. See if they can hold on. Dame Dollar
60 yesterday.
Who did?
Dame Dollar.
Dame. Yeah. I think I saw something. They said that he has just as many, or like the only people. Oh no, they said the only people that have more 60-point games than him, I think they said, is Wilt Chamberlain. But it was Wilt and somebody. I don't know if it was Kobe or yeah. I think that was. I think they said the only people that have more 60-point games than him is Kobe and Wilt Chamberlain, something like that. Which it, I mean, if I'm quoting that correctly,
Jordan, Elgin Baylor, and he's tied with James Harden.
Okay, for the most 60-point games. Okay.
Man, Wilt Chamberlain had 32 60-point games.
Yeah, so he. I mean, he's putting it down. you think he's gonna stick it out?
Where?
In Portland? Yeah.
He a lifer. He ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Now, do you respect that, or you think he shouldn't?
That's who he is. So yeah, I respect him. That's who he is.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you got the Knicks and Celtics tonight, and then you got the Nuggets and the Sixers on Saturday. That's number one and number two. It's a big game Saturday. The Nuggets in Philly. That's a big one. One and two against each other. Then you got the Knicks against the Nets on Saturday. So the two New York teams are playing, and two top 10 teams. So another big matchup on Saturday. So that's what's going on in the NBA. But I have one, we got a few minutes left, and I wanted to touch on something. I wanted to get your opinion on something. So I'm not sure if you saw this, but Kwame Brown, former number one draft pick, the Washington Wizards. I believe he was Michael Jordan's first draft pick as GM of the Wizards. And he was on the Pivot podcast, former football guys on that show. So Kwame Brown's earned $64 million in his NBA career. So not sure what he did investment wise or whatever, how much he's got left over. But, you know, made decent money as a former number one pick, was in the league for quite a while. Probably gets a pension because he bounced around. I did believe he did his 10 years. So he said that he would not trade his career for LeBron James' career. And so when he said that, the other guys on the podcast were like, what? You wouldn't want to be LeBron? And he said, nah. He said, I'm good with how my thing was. He said, I would not trade with LeBron. He said, because he's got less notoriety and he can be a normal person. He can walk up and down the street. TMZ's not following him. He doesn't have to do any, you know, hide away or, you know, whatever. You know, he can walk into any place and people aren't staring at him and trying to take pictures and selfies with him, get autographs. And, you know, so he said, you know, he's comfortable not being LeBron James. He said, actually, I'd rather be a bust than be LeBron James. That was actually what he said. I'd rather be a bust than be LeBron James. So you're in that. You could pick one. You could pick one. Which would you rather be? The bust, where you still got change in your pocket, but you can,
a bus. I'll pick a LeBron.
So that trade off for you, you personally, that trade off for you is worth it.
Yeah.
Now, which aspect of it? Is it just the money or the accolades?
The accolades, you know what I'm saying? Everything. You want to be in, why would you not want to be at the top? That's what you do it for.
That's true. But now, does it say something about Kwame Brown? And I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that maybe a lot about him.
But okay, I know what angle you're coming at it from. But does it also, can you see a side where you could say, okay, he's secure enough in himself to say, okay, yeah, I was a bust. I wasn't what people thought I would be. But you know what? I'm comfortable with that. And I'm enjoying my life anyway. Because, you know, with mental health, that could go another direction. You know what I mean? Like, no. But you're not.
J. Cole rides his bike around in Harlem by himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's in you, it's in you to be a regular person. I mean, I know you got to take certain measures, but why would you want to be, no. Not me.
Okay.
I'm right. Okay with that. Like,
okay.
You're right. The number one picker, but you want to be low-key? I'm pretty sure if that would have panned out, he would have been okay.
Oh yeah, for sure. But he's saying, you know, I could go to the barbershop, I can, you know, go to the supermarket and buy my own groceries, and I don't got people hounding me. And
you have people do that for you, or you have your own joint.
That's true.
LeBron is a billionaire.
Exactly. Yeah, he is. They, like that, but that's he's the, you know, that's the trade.
Son's got like a sweater. 7.4 NIL deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you got a lifetime contract with Nike. Like,
mm-hmm. Life is good. No, listen, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, you know, and I think he tries to move around, you know, like, you know, it goes to his son's games and stuff like that. So he tries to keep it somewhat, you know,
playing summer leagues, you know,
right? He tries to keep it as normal as it can be. But the reality is, like, you know, it ain't, you know, it's not at all. You know, he can't just say, yo, I want to stop in, you know, Trader Joe's and, or just, you know, go to McDonald's. You know what I mean? He can't do that, which, you know, but he's LeBron James, so I guess. So now that, you know, it was a fun episode, you know, had a lot of fun chopping it up as always. So we're going to sign off for this week. We invite everybody to please follow us on social media. Please subscribe to the Evening Rush Network on all the platforms. Subscribe to the Instagram pages for the Evening Rush Network and for Live by the Three Sports podcast. You can keep up with what we're doing, but we're looking forward to another great show next week. But until then, this is Coach Matt and Tyler signing off. Everyone have a great night, and we'll catch y'all next week.
Peace.